This is the Preach Jacobs Podcast. Ready? All right. 1, 2, 1, 2. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys once again for tuning in to the latest episode of the Preach Jacobs Podcast, brought to you by Big Media. We're also sponsored by my great friends over at Curated Wine Group. Thank you for this bottle of Cahier 23 that I shall be sipping on. I don't know what my guest has in his cup, but I'm showing up be drinking today. Also, thank you guys once again for checking us out, as we also sponsored by Soul House, that is also in Koger Center for the Arts. Make sure you check out our next event, Soul House Sessions, that we're going to be having there. Make sure you check out the Koger Center website and all the stuff on Instagram and all the socials. Also, check out A Vibe Call Yoga, one of our signature events that we do with Soul House with my girl Adia, where I'll be playing some fly ass hip hop stuff while you're going to be stretching and doing all the yoga tings. We have another guest.
You doing yoga?
I'm not doing it. I'm DJing it.
I was about to come.
If that's what I got to do to get you to pull up, man, I wear nothing but sweatpants. The voice you hear of the person making fun of me and my inability to stretch for yoga, this gentleman used to be the former aide of previous mayor in Columbia, South Carolina, C. Benjamin, and he's also the CEO of Civic. He is now running for city council at large seat in Columbia, South Carolina. Known this guy for quite a while. Good to see you right now. Sam, what's going on?
Preach, I just want to say thank you. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you for having me on, brother. I promise not to cut up too much. As you know, and as you mentioned, we've known each other for quite a while. Mm-hmm. We worked on issues together. I've seen you do your thing across Columbia. I've seen, quite frankly, just what you brought to the table from a cultural perspective, mm-hmm. from an energy perspective, making sure that you move Columbia. One of the things that I'm passionate about, that I've been passionate about from the start, is the vibe and the culture of Columbia. Word. And you've been the ambassador of Columbia on that front, brother. I appreciate you.
I appreciate this. Your website right now, if people want to find out more about your campaign.
Sure. You can go to www.civent.com for the professional. And if you're interested in the campaign, you can go to Johnson for Columbia. So that's www.johnsonforcolumbia.
All right. Well, good. We got all that stuff out the way. I guess this would be kind of a cool conversation because we haven't seen each other in a while. And I like the opportunity. One of the difficult things that I have happening with me in Columbia is that as a journalist here, as a columnist here, I think I'm the only black columnist in Columbia, where I have a column called Fight the Power for the Free Times, the Post and Courier Columbia, where I write about hip hop, politics, social awareness. And a lot of times I'm in this weird situation where I want to have certain conversations without diving too deep in as far as how do you have really humanistic interactions without making it feel like 60 minutes, right? But sure. but it's also important to have moments like this where you can show up to things like this and have real conversations with people that know you. One of the things that I thought was really, really interesting when we looked at, for me personally, when I looked at during the pandemic, mm-hmm. there was a lot of stuff that was going on. And one of the things that was happening with this outcry of the pandemic and Black Lives Matter movement, all these things, you started to see more black and brown people running for public office. That's one part of the question I want to touch you on. Why run for city council at large seat? And the second part of this that I always thought was really interesting is that there's this concept of reverse migration, mm-hmm. where there's the idea of, hey, if you really want to have political power, come back to the South and run for certain seats and things like that to have more of an impact. So I'm interested in knowing you as a young black person, yeah. in Columbia, why be someone that's involved in politics or be, involved in helping the community? Some people might not have that interest. What sparked that? And how do you feel about the South having an opportunity to do things to impact people that look like you?
Well, I'll tell you that second half of that question, I came in here and I was talking about my work in the mayor's office, mm-hmm. Columbia SC63, working with Bobby Donaldson. Mm-hmm. I love history. And so you start talking about the Great Migration, the reverse migration of folks moving back south. I'm looking forward to the answer, mm-hmm. that one. But I was like, why, on the answer of why run, mm-hmm. I'm a Spring Valley graduate.
What year?
Enough where I put this, where we had a reunion not too long ago.
Okay.
It was a milestone. I'll just say that. I'm getting up there in age, Preach. But what I'll say is, somebody who's born and raised here in Columbia, who has, you know, seen, you know, friends move, whether it's moving to Charlotte, whether it's moving across the country, you know, but feeling like, hey, I cannot reach my potential here in Columbia, South Carolina. And that's what prompted me to originally get involved. The reason why I got involved in politics and government straight out of my time out of at Carolina, which was then through Representative Anton Gunn, and now, and then subsequently with Mayor Benjamin, as you mentioned, I wanted to understand what makes this thing tick, right? What makes our city, our government, the folks who are making these decisions, how are they making a decision, right? So if they're making decisions on our behalf, on our collective behalf, right, on the behalf of families, on behalf of individuals, folks who like me, who grew up with a set of economic challenges, how are they making these informed decisions? And what I assume was that there had to be some base of knowledge that, you know, folks were working from, whether it was economic knowledge, whether it's economic development knowledge, but there had to be something that they were working from. And I wanted to understand what that process was, right? And, you know, so I started off at the State House. I was like, okay, this is interesting here, but, you know, not a whole lot of bipartisanship, not a whole lot of bills getting passed. And then got an opportunity to work for Mayor Benjamin and see more of Columbia, which is interesting. You know, growing up here, I literally saw a very small piece of Columbia. And having the opportunity to, you know, one, be involved in his campaign, but then, you know, serving the mayor's office, you know, you get to know all of Columbia. You see it all very intimately. It's extremely tangible to you. But not only, you know, they talk about local governments where the rubber meets the road, you know, people can reach out and touch you.
Yeah.
Right. And so you feel the heartbreak of the city when folks are going through struggle.
Okay. And I hear you on that. And I'm interested in what you think about this. So I was interviewed, slight diet flex. ESPN came into town and interviewed me for this this story when they were talking about Dawn.
Yoga and ESPN. I'm just
listen, man. No, stop it. But one of the things we were talking about, the writer was asking me about, you know, how is that relationship with the community and some of the villains of the past of the South, right? Where you asked me before we got on mic, you know, why do I stay here, or what makes me want to be here? And I tell people, like, what I love most about this city, it's mine, right? Warts and all. But there were parts of this city that I still feel at times the struggle of reminders that, hey, you don't belong here, right? Like I was telling the lady from ESPN, I said, look, there's still streets named after Confederate soldiers. And I know people that live on Confederate Avenue, and it used to be exactly what I'm saying, Cotton Town. Who was picking the cotton, right? And those are the things where those are like constant reminders of a not so distant past. And I bring that up because when I talk to young people that look like me, about being politically active, getting involved in politics, there seems to be this huge sense of cynicism, lack of trust, or people not trusting in the process, right? Of hey, if there's a problem, well, I don't know if I'm going to believe in government, right? I don't know if I'm going to believe in whether it's local or not, because local is more tangible, right? You as a younger person that's involved in this, and a younger person of color, younger black person that's involved in politics, what are some of the concerns that you have with young people that look like you having trust in local politics? And how, with you running this campaign, do you feel that you can dispel some of those concerns?
Well, one, you know, for all of our elected officials, you have to truly know what you're doing. So some of that distrust is, you know, for years, we've had elected officials get elected, and to get elected, they've made promises, right? And, you know, inherently, when those promises are not met, you know, your community just, you know, has, you know, develops a distrust, right? And so we have to be able to navigate that And part of it too is you have to be willing to say, yes, I can do this, or no, I can't. Right. Mm-hmm. So we have to start there. We have to look at history. Mm-hmm. Right. So when you look at the dynamics of Columbia, as most southern cities, you know, you can look at it either by zip code, geographically, mm-hmm. you can look at Elmwood, Gervais Street, Manning Avenue, and know the literally the borders of poverty, of where most of our Black families were, mm-hmm. and where you know, if you look at today, where our health outcomes, our economic struggles, our challenge, we know literally we can look at census data, we can look at all mm-hmm. of this from a data perspective mm-hmm. and see how it still holds up, right? Mm-hmm. And still, what I would say is the solution has to be rooted in policy, mm-hmm. which comes from government, right? Okay. And so if the rules that were set are what manifests today the struggle that we see, mm-hmm. the only way to deal with that is by the rules and the policy that are that either were in place or still is in place. And how do we elect leaders who are going to be able to zero in mm-hmm. on those policy issues that are perpetrating or manifesting challenges mm-hmm. still today, day after day, year after year, mm-hmm. right? And we have to understand, too, that it also takes time, right? Some of these issues, you know, weren't, you know, they have festered decade after decade, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, I remember, Preach, when Mayor Benjamin put the Bull Street project up for discussion here in Columbia. Mm-hmm. And, you know, said, hey, this is going to be, you know, a decades-long project, right? Decades-long build-out. This is something that we're not going to just build it out, for infrastructure mm-hmm. and see the fruits of our labor just on day one, yeah. right? It's going to take time. And yet, we're talking about a 182-acre site that sat vacant for 35 years, mm-hmm. right? And so, yeah, you're not going to come back from that in one year, one day, yeah, right?
I get it. It's always, and I believe you, and I agree with you. And that's the thing that happens with like the community when there's community and people think that politics is separate from community, but technically politics is supposed to be the people, right?
Absolutely.
You know, and I always joke when the conversation of change come up is that for Black folks in America, when we want change, it's not happening fast enough. And other people think that it's moving too fast, right? So it's always trying to figure out that balance. I guess the best way I can think about it, and I'm gonna see what you think about this. I want to have like the same integration of people that I know with politics the same way that I want, you know, people that look like me to get involved in like, you know, therapy or not, because they're both kind of taboo. Like politics and seeing a therapist are both taboo from where I come from. And one of the things that I always thought was just really just would get on my fucking nerves is that when people were going through emotional crisis and they would talk to people with mental health things, they will get hit with platitudes like, you know, never give up, you know, pray on it, you know? And sometimes when people are going through these things, I wonder, are there really tangible things that people can do to help with mental health issues? Mm-hmm. Politics, I feel, is the same way, where it's just like, yes, we know things take time. We know things that has to go through a process. We know that there's bipartisan stuff that has to happen. So I would say if there are people that are like us, that are young, that want to be involved in the community, that have a distrust for politics or politicians, but want to be community-based. Give me three things that can be tangible that you could say to somebody that's young, want to be involved in a community that, you know, outside of them going into a voting booth, which we'll talk about that as well. But give me three tangible things that, hey, here's things that you could do right now that can serve and impact your community. And I will also say on top of that, tell me about a few of the major things that you see that you want to help out with your campaign for city council at large.
Well, and what I'm going to say to that, my caveat to that first part of that mm-hmm. question, I'm going to give you three things that folks can do through the electoral process.
Okay.
Because part of what I will say that I see from folks who look like me and you a mm-hmm. lot is that, well, I don't want to deal with electoral politics, mm-hmm. but once you get elected, mm-hmm. I want to deal with you, mm-hmm. right? And then, or I just only want to be involved in the community and I want to focus on these issues, mm-hmm. right? But realizing that, to me, that's a little bit of the chicken at the egg. You are not going to make impact. Plus, the impact that you make running your nonprofit mm-hmm. is going to be limited mm-hmm. if you elect a whole bunch of bad people.
Mm-hmm.
Just blunt. Like, mm-hmm. that just is what it is. So you got to get involved in who is you. So, for example, you play cards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could all not cheat. Right,
you ain't play Uno with my family, man.
But if you really want to get a good hand, mm-hmm. sometimes you might have to make sure that you're the one dealing the cards,
okay.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm trying to say here mm-hmm. is, you know, I hear that a lot from folks who look like me and you. I don't want to. That's politics. I don't want to get involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you got to get involved in it if you want to make sure that you're the one dealing the cards.
Okay.
And so here's a couple things. First, volunteer on a campaign.
Okay.
Literally just volunteer, knock on doors.
Mm-hmm.
I know some folks, it's Columbia, it's hot. So maybe you don't want to knock on doors, mm-hmm. make some phone calls. But the other piece of the puzzle, these elections have single digit turnouts.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about as well. Yes.
So reach out to the person who's running mm-hmm. and tell them you want to grab coffee.
Mm-hmm.
They'll do it because you might be the one voter that puts them over the top.
Mm-hmm.
So sit down with that person who's running and understand what makes them tick. Mm-hmm. Make sure that their values meet yours, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that might be the singular thing that you need to do from an electoral perspective.
Mm-hmm. So literally, mm-hmm. my question here, local elections have low turnout. What strategies to get people engaged that feel disconnected with the council? So that was, we're definitely on the same page with that because I would see some of these local elections are determined by maybe 100 or less votes,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's a barbecue. You know what I'm saying? That's a house party. Like that's, you know, that's a few people absolutely. Coming to the park to play basketball. So is it, and I think this is a misunderstanding I think people have. I think that when there is a, Columbia is weird, right? Because Columbia is this, it feels like it's a blue dot in a red bubble,
yeah,
right?
So, yeah.
And so, you know, and I've written about this for the state newspaper, right? When Jamie Harrison was running years ago, it felt like something was like happening. And then when Lindsey Graham took that seat over, it was like, wow, it wasn't even a fight. Like Jamie lost that shit. And I remember, and I say this to say that the Lindsey Graham seat was, he's been in it for 20 something years. Prior to that, Strom Thurmond had it for like 50 or so years. And he ran as a Dixiecrat mm-hmm. back in the day. And so it feels like it's like 70 years of this continuum of particular politics, particular thoughts, particular things aren't moving. Then a lot of times when we deal with, you know, national politics and national things that happen to us and seeing what's happening in the White House, it's fucking confusing. That's crazy. That's stressful. I think a lot of times there's a misconception that people aren't involved because they're not interested in being involved. Sometimes it's this extreme, I don't want to say apathy, but just extreme, just worn out, completely worn out.
Mm-hmm.
So what would be your way as opposed to them just asking you for coffee? What's your email? How can I contact you to take you out for coffee?
Sure. You can reach out to the campaign SPJ at JohnsonFordColumbia.com.
Okay. So for our two listeners that's listening, hey, mom, take them out to coffee. But what's the inverse of that? So instead of the people coming to you to take you out for coffee, how do you get the community engaged? And again, what are some of the things that you think are really, really important that you want to focus on with your campaign?
Yeah, I'll say this. So I've gotten asked the question, you know, how have things changed in Columbia over the last 10, 20 years?
Mm.
And one of the things I realized is that, you know, about 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
which is sad to say, I'm get back that far. But 20 years ago, you know, you had these neighborhood organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Every elected official, every candidate was going to those neighborhood organizations,
mm-hmm.
right? If you are, you know, like you just said, right, mm-hmm. some of these elections are won by hundreds of votes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are putting together live humans
mm-hmm.
in any capacity,
mm-hmm.
an elected official is coming.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would say is if if what whatever medium that you have, all right, whatever issue you're involved in, whatever, if it's an organization, make sure whatever you're involved in has some type of outreach component to it, and say, hey, you know, we want to know how our city, how our county, how our delegation, how our, you know, and I, when I say, excuse me, back, let me back up. When I say delegation, how our state house and state senate and our congressional delegation are moving as it relates to our issues, to our concerns. And to me, we don't ask that enough, right? We don't hold, you know, there's in this age of social media and this age of everybody having a camera and being a walking journalist, really, right? There's still not enough accountability where we are forcing our elected officials to answer hard, tough questions in front of live humans. So to me, that's the answer.
The answer to what?
The answer to if I'm asking earlier for folks to come to coffee with me, you know, the inverse of that, if you want me to come out, if you want an elected official or a candidate to come out, you know, tell us whatever you're involved in. If you want us there, get us there.
Okay. Well, I'll see you tomorrow at my event. So, but again, sometimes people work better because we talk about social media and they need bullet points. What are three things that you see that you feel like, these are things that you feel like are issues that you have a solution that you haven't seen, either not practiced yet, or something that you feel like, oh, no one's talking about this in a way that I see this, and you have a unique relationship with politics, with your relationship with Steve and working with him. Like, what are three things that you see that if the public is listening to this, that if they're like, what are things that are important to you? What do you see immediately right away that you want to work on?
And let me just back up real quick and just say that every level of government that I just mentioned focuses on your issues differently. What they can provide you, and so that familiarity and that engagement that you have with them, it provides an opportunity to really learn what they do, right? What city council does, what county council does. So to me, one of those challenges that I see for Columbia, if I'm asked that question, my number one is collaboration. So our city, our county, our school districts, none of those bodies of government work together. So, you know, earlier we were talking about some of the challenges depending on where you live physically in Columbia. You know, in order to solve some of the generational challenges that have festered year after year, decade after decade, it's going to take our school district working with our city and our county, because, you know, our county has state statute handles economic development and has the purse strings. We all have to work together as a body of government, as a unified body of government, to solve some of those types of challenges. And what I have not seen in my lifetime is any of those bodies of government truly work together and say, hey, you know what? Year after year, these are the two or three things that we are going to focus on together. And so, in other words, I'm not going to have the state funding these issues over here. You know, the city funding this over here and the county just funding this issue, right? These are the two or three things that we're going to work together. And I think having somebody who's going to help unify and bring folks together so that we can accomplish a unified goal is the number one thing.
Okay.
From an economic development perspective, you know, as I mentioned before, Bull Street is happening, is moving, is great. I'm excited about it as somebody who worked on it. But we've got a number of little Bull Streets, right? And I say little. Our biggest opportunity is our riverfront.
Okay. Right?
So if we want to retain talent, if we want to make sure, you know, some of the 60,000 students that come to University of South Carolina, Benedict, Columbia College, Allen, if we want to make sure that some of those folks stay here, we've got to figure out how to create higher wage, higher skilled jobs. And part of that is that we've got to leverage our physical assets so that we are more able to attract some of those types of opportunities.
Okay. What's the third thing you got?
So the third thing I would say is, you know, is a little bit more nuts and bolts, but it's housing. You know, the reality is you can attract, you can have folks wish to stay here, you know, to retain that talent. But if they don't have a place to live, they're still going to go.
Well, yeah, I think that process, and we were talking about this earlier, you know, I just moved into a new place. I wanted to buy, but couldn't afford it because sometimes, you know, buying a house shouldn't be as difficult as it is. And And I go back to this. It's really interesting. And I don't know, I know we don't have much time left, but I wanted to talk about, from an artist perspective, because I'm an artist, and about what your thoughts to be able to help the arts community as a council member. Because years ago, I didn't run for city council. I walked because I ain't make enough money. But one of the things that I thought was interesting is that we talk about some of these smaller positions or smaller seats that people run for. You don't have to raise as much money. But if we're looking at governorship, at lordship, it gets kind of intimidating when you look at the amount of money that you got to raise in order to make a dent. Yeah. And I was floored by that, because when you look at political seats, I think the average person in the community should say, hey, I want to help. I want to do something, and should be able to run. But if you're running for a seat that got to generate $250,000 or something like that, then it's like, how am I going to raise this kind of money? Right. So how twofold, how do you get people involved in a political structure if it feels like it's something that is an impossibility to raise the type of money to get the visibility to do something correctly? And, you know, when you get this at large seat, what is the thing that you're hearing from artists on a regular basis that you think can be helpful from a government perspective to help the artistic community? Because you see other cities, whether it's Atlanta or if you have something like Art Basel in Miami, how it's a collaborative effort that they embrace the artist, and the artist is bringing in all this money, that type of thing, where I think a lot of times people in Columbia, artists in general, don't feel like they're respected as much, or it's like, oh, you get exposure, that type of thing. So what are your thoughts on those things?
Yeah. And I can't remember if we were talking about this before we got on the mic, went live or not. We were talking about the interwovenness of Columbia, right? Mm-hmm. And to me, one of the things I've noticed in the last few years is, you know, in the arts community, it's almost kind of pushed to the side, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And not interwoven into Columbia, the fabric of Columbia, like it's supposed to. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for me, as somebody who's been involved with the U.S. Conference of Mayors, who's been a board member there, as somebody who has worked in government and worked with mayors across the country, when mm-hmm. I look at cities and mayors that have done it well, mm-hmm. their arts and cultural community has led the charge, mm-hmm. has been at the forefront of the economic development, right? Has been in the forefront of doing what I just talked about, mm-hmm. retaining talent. Mm-hmm. Because people don't want to be somewhere as boring.
Yeah.
I mean, that's simple, yeah. right? But if it's boring, if there's no cultural element to it, if there's no FYCs going around, mm-hmm. then you know I was going to work that in. But you know, people are gone.
Yeah.
And so to me, our arts culture has to be back at the forefront mm-hmm. of Columbia. We have to celebrate what makes us unique, what showcases the talent that we have here, mm-hmm. and the rich history.
Mm-hmm. Last question, what makes Columbia unique?
Well, and what I'll say too is we also have to acknowledge that our artists are also small businesses.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So
what makes Columbia unique is actually what I just mentioned. The fact that we have such a rich, you know, not only artist community, but history, you know, historic component. We're a historic city. Next year will be the 240th anniversary, birthday of Columbia. Mm-hmm. So that's part of what makes us unique. So not just that, but being a compromised capital, mm-hmm. you know, one of the 50 capitals in the United States, where you got a river, mm-hmm. six universities, and the opportunity to enjoy all of it with, you know, almost a kind of a perfect breakdown of demographics.
Right. Well, I know time is almost up. I know we probably got like a minute left. Thank you again for coming to the Pre-Checkers podcast. Once again, sponsored by Coker Center for the Arts, Soul House Art Gallery. Make sure you come to the next A Vibe Called Yoga, which is going to be October the 5th on Sunday at 2 p.m. Make sure you check out my guest, Sam Johnson, on your website. Johnson for Columbia. Take him out for coffee. And I think we're about to run out. We should be good. We got a few seconds left.
Columbia, it's about you.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Pre-Checkers podcast. Talk to you soon. Peace. The
The preceding podcast is solely owned by its host or hosts and is distributed by Big Media LLC. Copyright 2025, all rights reserved.